Support for GLT comes from Bloomington Public Library, now offering a local podcast, Shelf Understanding. Past topics include the tiny house movement, virtual reality, an interview with author Eric Larson, and more. Shelf Understanding is available at bloomingtonlibrary.org, through iTunes, or wherever you get your podcasts. This is 89.1 GLT and WGLT.org.
Trees are a beautiful and practical way to screen your property from fierce winds. I'm Laura Kennedy, and this is GLT's Grow, your source for practical gardening advice from our expert in the field, from the Illinois State University School of Biological Sciences and curator of the Fell Arboretum. It's Patrick Murphy. Hello, Murph.
Hi, Laura.
Today on GLT's Grow, we have a question about trees as windscreens from Peter in Lexington. He submitted this at WGLT.org/grow. And he's concerned what with white pine diseases and a warming climate. He wants to basically start planting now for windbreak trees that will be good in the next 40 years. So clearly he thought white pine would be a good idea, is concerned with diseases, so he's looking for other suggestions, or maybe we should stick with white pines. So let's talk about some trees that might work for Peter.
It sounds like a great situation to be in, especially out in Lexington, Illinois, which is northeast of Illinois State University. Great area.
Mm-hmm.
Windbreaks are very useful if you live in an open setting or a rural setting or even agricultural setting. That's kind of how windbreaks got started. Windbreaks are a continuous wall of vegetation that extends or continues to protect an area from wind, snow, unfavorable views, or unfavorable lines of sight. They also create shade. So it's a good practice to have wind screens and wind breaks. They can reduce wind, and they can also help prevent soil erosion and prevent the soil from drying out too quickly, because wind screens, the primary thing they do is reduce wind. So there's one little detail I thought was interesting we could talk about, is the distance that the wind is reduced is 10 times the height of your screen. So if you have a 10-foot tall screen, you're going to reduce the wind's speed by 70 to 80%
wow.
for a distance of 100 feet.
That's not bad.
So that's kind of cool, but there's a couple more things to keep in mind, Laura. There are a couple kinds of windbreaks. There's a field windbreak, and then there are farm windbreaks, and they can both occur at the same place because, like I said, farms are where they happen the most often. A field windbreak would happen where it's more landscaping oriented, but it has the same benefits of controlling soil and moisture erosion. Whereas a farm windbreak, and if you're driving across the country, and especially if you're on a bicycle where your view lasts a little longer because you're going a little slower, the farm windbreaks, they protect the home and the outdoor working areas, the feedlots and where the animals live. They protect those features of those living things from the stresses of wind. So if you work on a farm or something, you're outside a lot, you need to have an environment where you can do some work, and that's usually where the feedlots and stuff are located too.
You're listening to GLT's Grow, our weekly gardening show for those who like to get their hands dirty. This week, trees as windscreens. Now, Peter in Lexington seemed rather bullish on white pines, but are there other great options out there for him?
There are. So when you're putting your windbreak plan together, Peter, I want you to keep in mind that your windbreak, it has three or four layers. So having a windbreak made out of one plant, as much as we all love the white pine, that's not a good practice. Because right now there's nothing that's really significantly reducing the value and reliability and usefulness of white pines, but that could change. Okay, so we'll compare that to, say, Austrian and Scotch pines. Man, they are dying all over the place.
Ooh.
So if you have these windbreaks, consider mixing several species together for the protection of diversity.
Great idea.
So your four layers, or three for sure, possibly four layers, you get your windward row portion of your windscreen. That is a spot where you're into the wind, you're meeting the wind.
Right.
And for the real, real elaborate, super effective windscreens, they kind of are pyramid shaped. They're tallest in the center, and then they taper on both sides.
Okay.
So that windward row, if it were trees, the white pine would be a good one, but some little less tall conifers might be better for that first layer, as well as dense skeleton deciduous trees, like say a hawthorn.
Ooh.
Hawthorn's like a thorn basket. You can barely throw your hat through it.
Okay.
So you could mix a couple of trees in that first windward row, and then your interior row, that's where your largest plants are located. So that's for sure white pine location, as well as a mixture of some large shade trees, you know, some oaks, some black gum. Some of the good, valuable hardwood trees that we have in the Midwest would be great for that interior row.
What about arborvitae?
Arborvitae would be good on the windward row side or the leeward side, the downwind side, because if you can imagine the wind coming up to a fence, the wind goes over the top of it, and when it falls down, if there's snow in that wind or rain, most of it gets dropped when the wind is forced back down to the ground after clearing that hurdle.
Mm-hmm.
Well, if your hurdle has little layers on each side of it, you're picking up rain and snow and even soil particles that were picked up off your field or have just been carried in by the wind. It gets slowed down by the crescendo of that interior row, and then the leeward row does the last of the fighting. And if you're really, really planning it out, you can do your windbreaks so that they include a snow trap. So the snow trap is something that's, say, 25 to 65 feet away. This requires some measurement because if it's too close, so if it's less than 25 feet, you're going to drop the drift right on what you're trying to block or screen. If it's too far away, the wind has plenty of chance to speed back up. So in addition to the white pine, you've got the white fir to add to these three or four layers. And for that snow trap layer, this is also a good opportunity to create something that's beneficial for the living things that we share the landscape with. So this could be where you find some of your edible plants like gooseberry, American hazelnut, dogwood, native dogwood trees, you know, like Cornus racemosa, the gray dogwood. So a really effective windbreak would not only have the white pines that Peter loves, but it'll have some other short-needled conifers in there, some dense skeletal deciduous trees. That way when the winter's here and the leaves are gone, these pieces are all still working together.
You know, I'm a huge fan of the blue spruce. Would that work?
Absolutely. That could be in the windward row or the interior row. So now we've talked about blue spruce, white pines, and white fir. That could
be
a
lot of great choices there.
And the arborvitae. So there's four right there. That continuous line is going to have a nice natural appearance to it if it's not just the same soldier, shoulder to shoulder to shoulder.
Yeah, that looks, that has a very like very planned out sort of Versailles. I mean, there's not that there's anything wrong with
look.
That. Yeah. Very formal to have them all the same. And if you're really attracted to that, I mean, okay.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, to mix it up as well, you've got a whole lot of different textures and heights and all kinds of things going on there.
That looks nice. It lasts the longest. It's the most effective. Diversity is the key in so many things that we do in the landscape, and it's certainly true with the windbreaks.
Absolutely. Now, Peter, that was a great question.
Thank you, Peter.
We loved hearing from you, and we love hearing from anybody who's got a great question. So, you know, that's always welcome here on GLT's Grow. Now, next week, you know, a lot of people are harvesting their melons and enjoying them this time of year, but let's start thinking about the next growing season. And we're going to talk about preparing a melon patch for the next growing season. If you're not growing melon right now, this might be a great opportunity for you to start getting that ready for next year. Maybe if you're just thinking, I'm tired of dragging a watermelon home from the grocery, I want to grow my own. Well, we got a plan for you coming up next week on GLT's Grow. And of course, your questions are always welcome. Just send them to our website, wglt.org/grow. We'd love to hear from you. Murph might use your question on the air. And we'd love photos too. It's wglt.org/grow.